Blog Talk Radio.
About it. I got a lot of bad habits. Some people have been calling me up and telling me to change the song, and I used to have three or four, but the copyright police got me, and it wasn't clear whether I had the right to use them, and so I had to squash them. But speaking about music, just a little plug. As soon as I get them into usable format, I'll play some of them on the air. But if you like the blues, and I do like the blues, then I'd suggest you go out on the internet and find a guy named Big Boy Little. And I think you can play a couple of cuts off their album, Big Boy Little Band. It was recorded live I swear I'm getting Alzheimer's as I get old. Anyway, I'm ruining my plug here for Big Boy Little Band, XM Radio. And it's a great album. I strongly recommend three cuts in particular. The Legend, Carondelet, and The Heat. They are just absolutely magnificent. Every song on the album is great, but those three are of particular note. And a shout out to Wolf, the bassist for Wolf Crescenza, the bassist for the Big Boy Little Band. He was just admitted to the Northern Virginia Blues Hall of Fame, and well-deserved. The Wolf can make it howl, no question about it. No fancy showmanship or any of that other kind of crap, you know, where they make faces and all that other kind of stuff. But, you know, just pure, pure blues bass guitar, and he is super at it. The whole Big Boy Little Band. Big Boy, nobody, he plays the harp, the harmonica really, really well. It's a pleasure to listen to him. He can sure blow without any doubt at all. He doesn't even remind me of anybody. He's just the Big Boy. And if you want to listen to blues, and they run a blues jam every Thursday night. I don't know. It's been running some ridiculous number of consecutive Thursdays at the Zoo Bar on Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C. It is right directly across the street from the entrance to the Connecticut Street Zoo or the National Zoo, whatever you want to call it, but right there on Connecticut Avenue. Just up the street and over the bridge from Danny O'Brien's, another place where, well, let's just say I spent a lot of money. A lot of money. A lot of money passing the wrong way over the bar, as my father used to say. But anyway, on to tonight. If you want to call and join the conversation, well, of course, you can always dial 347-945-6713. That's 347-945-6713. I am expecting a couple of callers tonight that always will make the night interesting. But please call and join the conversation. You won't be on hold. I'll just join you right in. We've had as many as seven in a free-for-all, which is the way Boog likes to do it. That's my nickname. I've been called Boog since I was a wee tot, since I was 6 months old in the cradle. It's a corruption of the Italian word for kiss. Yeah, I'm a big old fat Italian. Some days thinks he's Irish, but that's a whole other story. Some days, lots of days, glad he's not. But anyway, that's the story. If you want the blues, you go out to the blues bar. That's a completely unsolicited plug. I get no compensation for that, unfortunately. I wish I did. But if you got a message you want to get out over the air with Norm at Night, well, you can just email me at buffnet@verizon.net, and I'll get in touch with you and we'll work out something. And we do have listeners. Hundreds of people listen every week, and our total listens now are just about to cross the 58,000 mark. I'm really, really excited about we'll start getting ready to cross the 60,000 mark, and that'll be a really interesting thing. My cell phone's going off here, and I'm not 100% sure why. But let me check. I put one of those codes on my cell phone after it got stolen. Yeah, I know. Is Margaret trying to call me? Hold on a second. I'm calling Ocean City, Maryland right now. You won't hear this over the air, but this should make for an interesting conversation. This is my daughter, actually. She's in Ocean City, and she and her friends are having a party week. And we'll see what happens. I guess you'll hear my end of the conversation. They're having some trouble reaching her. All right, we'll just leave her a message. Yeah. Hey, this is the Norm at Night Show. I thought maybe you'd just called me. Why don't you give us a call back? We're on the air until 10 o'clock, 347-945-6713. Let us know how things are going out in Ocean City. Bye. That was odd. Let me see what's going on. Maybe my friend the Bays is trying to call. By the way, what the general topic of conversation here tonight is taxes, tax returns, and Mitt Romney. And what exactly does it mean to be an American? That's another topic that we'll deal with. It's this new phone. Somebody stole my phone. I got a new one, and I'm all discombobulated. Have you ever had a phone stolen? Your window smashed on your car, and somebody taking your cell phone? If you have, why don't you give us a call? 347-945-6713, and we can commiserate with each other. The phone's ringing again. Yes, this is Norm. Hey, Margaret, why don't you call the show? Call the show. It's on the air now. 347. Oh, jeez. I should have just texted it to you. No, write it down now that we're... I'll text 945-675-945-6713. Yes. All right. It started 12 minutes ago. We're talking about Mitt Romney. All right. Bye. Oh, we're going to have some callers on Norm at Night tonight. How exciting. From Ocean City, Maryland. Get a full report on Party Central. I don't know what the temperature's like wherever you're at, but oh my God, is it hot here. It was 100 again today in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. I got a report from Buffalo, New York, where I was born and raised. And it's been just unbelievably hot in Buffalo this whole time. Oh, I hear the cat somewhere. Oh, wait, I got a call coming in. Hey, what's the matter? 703. For some reason, I can't seem to get you in. If you're listening to me, that's okay. 703, I got you on my board, but I'm not able to connect you for some reason. So why don't you just hang up and try to call again? I got a question mark here, and I don't know exactly what the issue is. I don't know what happened there. Is there something new with the God Blessed switchboard again? Yeah, here I am, the big prophet of techieism, man. I can't even work the tech. But that doesn't stop me. We just keep trying to come to you here at the Norm at Night Show every Tuesday night from 9 to 10. But the big issue... besides me looking for a job, is politics this summer. Right now, I'm scared. Here we go. There. Can you hear me? 703, I'm sorry. There's something wrong with my chat or with my board tonight. Everything seems to be in order here. I'm sure you can see it says hold, but it won't let me take you off hold. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I'm really embarrassed. Hello? This is the Norm at Night Show. I got you coming in, but I'm not able to connect you. I'm really sorry. Hey, guest 12825, how are you? I'm having technical difficulties here, and God, I was going really well. We had a nice show cranking here, and now all of a sudden I can't... I can't get anything. Gosh, that's one of my favorite callers, too. I'm really embarrassed. 12825, just give me a call if you would at 347-945-6713. Huh. 916, there you go, but I'm not able to bring anybody in. Somehow I've muted the calls. Hey, wait a minute, I'm going to call you. 916, get away. Now I got two calls. Son of a... Now what just happened? There we go. You're on with Norm at night. You're on with Norm. Can you hear me, 703?
Hello.
I gotcha.
Do you?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. What are you talking about, Norm?
But go ahead. I'm sorry. All of a sudden, my whole screen just cleared and rebooted itself. Hey, Count, why don't you call back? I think we got the technical difficulties straightened out.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. What are you talking about?
Well, I was talking about how the system is really bad. Wait a minute. We got another call coming in. Hold on. We'll get everybody on the line. 301, you're on with Norm at night. Go ahead.
Hello, what are you talking about tonight?
Tonight we're talking about taxes and how all us poor people pay them and rich people don't.
The poor people pay taxes and the rich people don't?
Well, I don't know. What do you think of that statement?
I'm voting for Obama.
You're voting for Obama. Well, this is a good day. I got another call coming in here. Hold on, everybody. It's a super fan. Go ahead, 301-928. You're on with Norm.
Okay, very nice. What about the illegal immigrants?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
What about the illegal immigrants like me?
Sounds like a prank caller. What about the illegal immigrants?
What?
I'll talk about I'm a Republican. I'm not going to talk about
who's a Republican?
You're a Republican.
No, I don't want to talk about Obama and that stuff.
Why? I would like to have a choice. Okay, it's the end.
Well, I have the youth of America on the line. This bids us well for the election coming up. Is that you, Colt? Go ahead, Colt, you're on.
So exactly what are we talking about?
Well, we got some calls from Ocean City, Maryland. One of them was voting for Obama. The other one seemed to be a Republican. But what I want to talk about is, what does Mitt Romney have to fear from his tax returns? What do you think? Why is he making this big deal about it?
Well, my personal opinion, I don't think anybody should have to reveal any tax returns. It's your own private business. It's between you and the IRS. Nobody else has any right to see it. It's your business.
What do you think of that, 703?
Well, there's a part of me that agrees with that. And there's a part of me that says if you run your campaign on the premise that you're the best man for the job because you know how to run a business and you know how to do all these things that he's been claiming, he's kind of opening himself up.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
Go ahead, 703. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, I think he's made his career at Bain Capital a key point of his rhetoric to get elected. And therefore, he begins to open himself up to people who want to know, how did you make your money? What did you do with that money? Is it all in some offshore account? Are you paying taxes on it?
Or yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think don't you think it's because he made such a big deal out of his background of his?
Oh, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and I mean,
the thing is that nobody opens a banking account in Bermuda or the Cayman Islands or Switzerland unless they want to, well, there are a couple reasons, but the primary one is to avoid taxes.
Right.
So, you know, that's it. Either you avoid taxes or else you're laundering money or you're funneling money to terrorist groups. Those are two other reasons, you know.
Whoa!
Right, right.
You know.
I think that's probably a little far, but the point you're making, I think, is correct. That kind of way of handling one's money and I think once that door opens, it's hard to close it again.
Yeah, and he has the question of the SEC filings and, you know, his claims that, oh, I created all these jobs, but no, I wasn't really involved. You know, which is it? Come on, guy, you know.
Well, right.
Yeah, he has serious,
he's opened the door to that.
Yeah, he's opened up some serious credibility questions, which he already had. I mean, you can't change your view that many times on so many issues in such a short time, you know.
Time out. Should the President of the United States be able to have money in offshore accounts?
It is legal. I mean,
should he?
But should he? Well, I think if he wants to maintain credibility, integrity, tax other people who can't take advantage of these offshore accounts, we've got some ethical questions here. So,
right. Well, I don't even know if it's ethical. I don't know whether he's doing anything unethical in investing money that way, but certainly it raises the specter of someone trying to avoid paying their share of income because they've been offshore it like that. And so I think it's hard to maintain any kind of high road political stance if indeed you're doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, just in Congress, look at the what we call inside trading, you know.
Right.
That's, again, I mean, we've got these things that exist and people take advantage of it.
Wait a minute. But how would my tax return even reveal that I have offshore money?
You have to report foreign bank accounts.
Well, then why don't you have to pay taxes on them?
Because they're not taxed in that country.
The same way Apple does it.
Well, hey,
it's complex.
You know, I didn't buy an Apple.
Well, you know, we talked about that once before.
Yes, we did. And we can talk about it again if you like.
No, we don't. I mean, we already know the corporate loopholes are insane. I mean,
you know, all those kids are looking for their, looking for jobs on their Apple computers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that seems kind of funny to
ironic.
Me. It's a joke.
Well, except for the poor kids that are using Nokias.
Yeah. What kind of computer do you use, 703?
What's that?
What kind of computer do you use? Are you an Apple man?
I used Apple computers for many years, but I think for what I want to do with a computer, I think the Apple computers are too costly. I don't do enough fancy stuff. I'm not playing games or apps or all that sort of stuff. I'm using it to write or to analyze numbers. So it's not, I think Apple is just a high price spread. It's always been. When I owned all the Apple computers I owned, it was always a high price spread. And, you could buy a printer for $150, except if you had an Apple and you had to pay like $2,000,
Back
in the 90s.
There was a time when if you were serious about, let's say, doing graphics, music, that sort of thing, the Apple computers had the best chips. And the software, for the longest time, all the Adobe software was only made
just
for
all you people
graphics,
out there listening to this, management does not approve of anything that's being said right now. But go ahead.
What do you mean? Who's management?
Him.
Norm.
Oh, I got another call here. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, how are you? Forward. You're on with Norm now.
Hi, can you
go ahead, Matt. It's 301.
Hi, can you elaborate on what you think of Romney not releasing his tax returns from 2009?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
I want to know what you thought about Romney not releasing his tax returns from 2009.
We've all been saying it's suspicious. I think he's hiding something. Otherwise, why not release them?
Yeah. Yeah, whether he likes it or not, it gives the impression that he's hiding something. So if he can live with that, fine. But
that's an interesting question. He released 23 years of tax returns to the Republican candidate last year when he
McCain.
Was being vetted for vice president, and Senator McCain picked Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
How do you know when you're alive?
Something's a matter with those tax returns. The other thing is, I didn't think that tax returns mattered anything after 7 years.
There's nothing official about this.
Is he hiding something?
It's all voluntary. If you want to do it, fine. If not, you don't.
I think the bigger question with Romney and with the whole Republican story is, the whole where are the jobs kind of thing. They've had tax cuts since 2001, and we're waiting for this great influx of jobs from the job creators, right?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of myth here, as if tax cuts create jobs. Well, tax cuts per se don't create jobs. Tax incentives create jobs.
Wait a second. 301, you got a job?
I have a question. Do you think even jobs coming back to the United States?
What's the question? What did he say?
I don't think it's ever coming back to the United States. Everyone taking jobs out of the United States to China, India, or like Brazil. So I don't think USA is going to be the same anymore.
Yeah.
You think they're not coming back?
Jobs is going to be getting lost from every year. We're going to lose more and more jobs. So
yeah.
What do you think?
What are we going to do?
What
are you guys supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, here's
President Obama claims the Republicans want to go back to what they tried for 8 years and it didn't work.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Well, that that's that myth. I mean, the myth is you reduce taxes, they have more money, they invest in their businesses. But there's no rationale to invest here.
What do you think about raising taxes for people making over $60,000 a year?
What you've got now, and here's the situation in a nutshell.
We've
extended our credit to basically we've hit a wall. No money is going to be lent out to anybody.
Yeah, good luck.
And if you don't have credit, your economy does not expand and you don't get
income. Hey, let's stop something here right now. Almost 80% of the United States debt is owed to the United States.
I can't understand anything in this day.
I can't either. Hey, 301, I'm sorry. We're having trouble. You're breaking up, so I'm going to turn you off. And you can try to call back. Maybe we'll get a better cell connection. I don't know.
Hmm.
Okay.
So anyway.
Everybody talks about how we owe all this money to China.
Well, let's...
We don't owe all this money to China.
It's not significant.
We owe most of the money ourselves.
It's not significant, no.
What do you do?
Well, here's the deal. You can probably still borrow a little more. In fact, I think we will be forced to do so. And I think no matter who is president, either Obama or Romney, at the end of their term, we'll hit a debt ceiling of somewhere in the range of $20 trillion. It's running $1 trillion a year. They have no way and no plan.
The debt ceiling, that's all artificial. The debt ceiling's all artificial.
Well, you're an incurable Keynesian. That's why you think that way.
No! I understand the Constitution of the United States.
You on the gravy train, boy.
Nobody can prevent the Congress from getting... In fact, the Congress has a responsibility to fund whatever they pass.
Yes, well, okay.
And there's two ways to get money.
Print it and...
Revenue or taxes.
Oh, I was going to just print it.
You know, I'm tired of all this nonsense. Oh, the debt ceiling. Oh, this. Oh, that. If the United States was having trouble borrowing money, the interest rate on treasuries would be skyrocketing.
Uh-huh.
And it's not. It's at historic lows.
Yeah, and you know, and if the interest rate actually meant something, there'd be an incredible amount of credit available to the country. Small businesses, mortgages, you name it, at these rates. We should be booming, but we're not.
No, I'm talking about the rate of borrowing treasuries.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of freight money in the world, and that's where it's going.
Trouble, if the Treasury was having trouble borrowing money, the interest rate would be rising in order to attract more money.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But it's not!
Well, let's put it this way. You've got all of these banks have higher margin requirements. Okay, they have to hold more money in preparation for the next disaster. So they have all this money they're sitting on. What are they going to do with it? It's not just liquid. Well, it's liquid, but it's invested in government bonds.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
They're sitting on cash. They're not sitting on government bonds.
It's the same thing.
No, it isn't the same thing.
You can't keep cash. Every central bank in the world is sitting on a ton of U.S. government debt. It's the most liquid. It's more liquid than the money itself.
Poof.
They're not sitting. They're sitting on cash.
Oh, really? You mean I can take $10 billion worth of cash and take it out in the street and trade it? I don't think so.
Absolutely you can.
Well, if I'm buying heroin, I suppose, but, you know. No, the you know.
Cash is marks on a piece of paper. That's all it is.
Yeah, and pretty much so are, and so are these bonds and treasury notes, except they're just data in a computer.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yes.
I'm going to bail out of this.
All right.
But talking about treasury bonds isn't that interesting.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, well, you had three topics, I believe. Something about what does it mean to be an American?
Yeah, that was another topic because there was a lot of stuff going on today around the blog and the tweetverse somehow if you're left of center, you're not a real American.
Oh, well.
Well, can you be left of center and be an American?
Can
you be a socialist and be an American?
You can be an anarchist and be an American. You can be a Nazi and be an American. Which one do you want, you know? Let's celebrate diversity here.
That's political rhetoric, Norm. That's rhetoric.
I like rhetoric.
I do, too. But, I mean, I think it's really, it's your classic 50% of the House is communist or something. You know,
Joe
McCarthy stuff, you know. It's the refuge of scoundrel, you know.
The people who are saying this stuff just very well may be elected president of the United States. I mean, the other thing that's making me nervous is there's all this stuff about the tax returns and this and that. And his poll numbers are holding. Why is that?
Well, last week when you asked me what would be the dominant feature of the campaign, I think I said character. And it will be two people throwing crap at each other, hoping it sticks. And that's more or less it. Because there really are no major issues dividing these guys. They're the same to me.
Well, I don't think they're the same.
I mean, except for a few social issues, but, you know, they're going to follow the neoconservative plan in the Middle East. The same military strategy is still there. They're all going to raise the national debt, like I said. A lot of this stuff is already, it's engraved in stone. It's going to happen.
Well, I'm not sure.
And the economy won't improve no matter who's in there. Again, those conditions are out of their control.
I think one of the problems that the Romney campaign has is nobody's quite sure how whatever Romney is and claims to be translates into doing something that will change this country.
Oh yeah.
I think that's a difficult proposition for him to sell.
To say
my answer is that we give more tax cuts to the upper end and we get rid of regulations, some of which are obviously dopey and inane, but there needs to be regulation, and everyone knows that. But, I mean, it's the idea that more of the same of the Bush administration is going to jumpstart the economy is nuts. Because the last time the haves had the money and got more back in tax cuts, what they did was they played with things like securitized mortgages. They played with hedge funds. They played with starting businesses in China. That's what they did when they got the money. They didn't do what they did under Kennedy. They didn't do what they did under Reagan, which was to say, because back then the action was here. All the action was here. So you said, I'm going to expand my plan. I'm going to hire some more workers. I'm going to do these things. And that's not the way the world is economically. So the more money you give to the upper end in tax cuts, I'm convinced, will go into more unusual financial instruments, to offshoring, to all the things that are already killing the economy. It's hard for me to understand how he thinks that will work, because we already tried that. We already tried giving the entrepreneurial job creators, those wonderful job creators, we gave them lots of money we didn't ask them for and said, create some jobs. They didn't create any. The worst job creation record since Harry Truman is George Bush's. The worst, by far. Absolute worst.
Yeah, if
you need any proof to say that thing doesn't do it, that's right there.
Yeah, I think, when we talk wealthy people being job creators, again, there's a myth there, too. I mean, you've got about maybe 10 to 15% are the entrepreneurs and then the venture capital. But the majority of wealthy people are not about, they're about wealth preservation. That's all they do. They could give a rat's ass about
building
something new, you know.
If you want to drive an economy, you want to make sure that most of your tax cuts go into the hands of people who buy things.
Yeah.
You want to prime the demand side of your economy to say people have more money to spend, and they'll go out and buy flat screen TVs, or they'll go out and buy Kindles, or they'll go out and buy cars or whatever they'll buy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put money into the demand side of the economy, that's what's wrong with the economy right now. What's wrong with this economy in this country is that they have been gradually eroding the bottom four-fifths of three-fifths have seen their income go backward.
Mm-hmm.
Two-fifths have seen it go forward, but the fourth-fifth, the fourth quartile, is not going forward anything like the top, or the fourth quintile, rather, is not, they're falling behind the top quintile even.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing fine, but they're falling behind it. And what you're doing when you do that, when an economy is doing that, what it means is you're not going to drive the economy with those tax cuts, because indeed the people who are getting them are not the buyers of things. I mean, do they buy things? Sure. But how many pairs of pants does a millionaire need, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there is, you know, as numbers have been changing over the past decade, actually, the wealthiest 10% now account for, I forget the figure. It's between 30 and 40% of all consumption now, only because they had so much freaking money and were buying extravagant homes and this and that and whatever. And that's a tremendous change. But it could also be the decline of the middle class and working class consumer, so that the numbers are skewed now.
Right. I mean, when Henry Ford introduced the $5 workday, he understood what he was doing. He was giving people money to buy the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the businessman doesn't look at the world that way. The businessman does not say to himself, if my people make more money, they'll buy more of my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to minimize his labor costs. And what's happened in this country, the bottom two-thirds of this country, in terms of share of national income, have lost like 12% of that share since 1967.
Oh, yeah.
And when that happens, demand dries up. And when demand dries up, there is no rational reason for a businessman to expand his plant or his operation or whatever, because he doesn't have any customers.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, you know, we've heard years and years of supply-side economics, but I think somebody forgot in that the great deal about supply side is that there's also a demand side. And when the demand side dries up, boom.
Yeah.
You got rich guys who buy so many cars.
Here's another problem that Actually, Tom Friedman pointed it out, and it's not that labor's cheaper in India suddenly. It's always been cheaper, but we've never been able to use it. What happened was that telecommunications changed the entire ballgame. It now literally costs nothing to dump your work to India or to China or to any other place, South America. It costs nothing to access the labor. The access cost of the cheaper labor always made it equally or, in fact, more expensive than doing it here in the United States. But that doesn't exist.
So you call your toaster maker and you talk to Kenny in Bangalore.
Well, you know,
and that's not going to go away. The thing is, what someone needs to think about is how you put money in the hands of people here so that they can work, live a decent life, and buy the stuff that you produce. Right now, we're buying the stuff they produce offshore, and that isn't going to go away. There's always going to be some cheaper way to do that. How you get the money back into the supply, the demand side, now that you have crunched the middle class so badly, I don't know how they do it. I truly don't.
Well, I can tell you one way. Now, we've talked about taxes and the disparity between working class and, you know, upper class. Pretty much it's like this. You need to create an environment in the United States that's most favorable to the corporation and the small business too, of course. So you want to lower your corporate taxes to, well, I think the lowest is maybe 18-19%. You want to get it in that range. Now, for the individuals in the higher incomes, that's where you raise the taxes, which is going to happen anyway. So if it hits 40%, 45%, that's probably fair for them. But the corporate sector, they create the jobs.
No, they don't.
Come on, Norm. Where did you work?
They don't.
Republic Steel.
You know,
who gave you your job?
Oh, small business through the
who gave me my job?
What?
When the economy expands, people get hired.
I agree. I think, you know, the difference between the corporation and the wealthy individual are two very different things. Yeah,
absolutely. Because we're
talking. However, the truth is, though, that the truth is, if you read on corporate taxes, you find that on average, that's what they're paying. They're paying like 15%.
Oh, yeah. See, they've got the loopholes, and yes, they've got all that too, yeah.
So, you know.
But they have to eliminate all that, of course, you know.
Yeah, but that's somebody's ox getting gored there. That doesn't go away. Krauthammer was in the paper this morning talking about how the government is funding obesity by all of its support for the dairy industry and cheese and all these heavy fattening foods.
Yeah, for me, it's more corn
and
wheat gluten. Like garbage.
No, but they should do away with all those insane supports, but that can't happen. That can't happen because there's too many interests involved.
Yeah.
But
well,
I'm just saying, until the middle class starts to have some money, the whole thing is fractured.
Yeah.
There's going to be a revolution in higher education when people say, I can't spend $30,000 a year to send a kid to college.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that out here in California, of course.
Yeah. You're going to see higher education affected. You're going to see manufacturing affected. The whole economy needs buyers is what it needs.
Mm.
And we don't have the buyers. we've got the people that are doing the selling, and their answer is to just take it to China and keep your prices down.
Hmm.
There is no attention paid in this society to the demand side, although the name of the game is supply and demand.
So okay, we're in charge. So we're in charge, and we realize this. Now, what do we do to make demand?
Well, you know, what I would do is there's talk that the Democrats are going to say, we're going to just bag the Bush tax cuts. Now, of course, that's going to throw the world into a tizzy, okay?
Yeah, that's the Thelma and Louise plan. Except
that all the Democrats then have to do is propose big tax cuts for the working stiff. And there's no Republican in the world that can say, I don't want that tax cut. I want it for the billionaire without looking bad. So, you know, there's a possibility to play some brinksmanship with the Bush tax cuts.
Yeah. Well, you know, as far back as we want to go with, you know, capitalism, it was always understood, and this is a bit elitist, but it would be the property owners who would cover most of the tax burden. In other words, income tax at all. But if you own property or if you buy luxury goods, that's where taxes were coming from. Now that...
Why? Because the rest of the people were slaves.
Well, that's why they didn't pay taxes. Or if they were, you know, near serfs or indentured servants or whatever. Yeah, of course, you know, the poor were never a source of revenue other than their labor. But you couldn't tax them for much or nothing, you know.
Like, that was known as the slave loophole. And someone closed it. And said, we're going to get those poor people paying more.
And this is, you know, I mean, I've heard all of these proposals for, you know, flat taxes and things like that. And I have never seen one that could possibly work. I mean, it all sounds good when, you know, when Keynes says, we're all going to pay the same thing, 999. You know, well, if I'm making $10,000 a year and you take 9% of my income, I'm screwed.
Right.
If you make $100,000 and you take 9%, I might not even notice.
Well, you'll notice it, but you're not going
to
notice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe I have to, you know, hire less servants. I'm not sure, but...
Right.
But the difference is, you know what I'm saying, and that's why we have progressive taxes. So, you know, I mean, this as a self-declared libertarian, this is near heretical that I'm saying, but, you know... The way things
that's actually not true either, because there's a whole left libertarian tradition that everyone ignores. And if we would pay some attention to that, then it would change a whole lot of things in the society.
Mm-hmm.
And the part and the basis of left libertarianism is natural resources are owned by the society, not by individuals.
That's sometimes true, yeah.
Not sometimes. That's left libertarian theory.
Well, okay, that, you know...
There are no individual owners of oil, for instance. We all own the oil. And the best
ExxonMobil,
then. And the best example of that in practice is in Alaska.
Well, the Interior Department sold an awful lot of mineral rights,
They have done it. What the libertarian theory is.
And the unfortunate.
It can all be taken back.
Without
compensation.
You're a left libertarian, starry-eyed optimist.
It's what they do with the state.
No, Norm, it can all be purchased.
It
can all be purchased.
In the nation's history.
That's the deal, yeah. Mm.
We got about four
minutes. Gentlemen, I'm going to bail out now.
Okay.
Right.
So I've had enough of this insoluble problem.
Well, come back next week and we'll try again.
Okay.
Oh, well.
See ya.
Did you say
hey,
no
nice.
Thanks? Oh, but, don't do
what?
That to the Norman Knight Show. We love your participation.
Yeah, I'll call back next week.
Sure.
I'll talk to you at 7:03. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's really hard not to call callers you know by their name.
Oh, yeah, I know. So. Yeah.
So we got about...
What's that?
Oh, we had a bunch of callers tonight. I wish they had... I think that guy was drunk.
Yeah, it sounded... Not quite sure I couldn't make it out.
We may not get it. That was all the way from the eastern shore of Maryland on the ocean, so we may not have had may not have had a good cell connection.
Yeah.
And I'm not even
City,
sure.
I remember where it well.
I don't even really know where 347 is.
Mm. Well, we can always look that up. Well...
Yeah, I don't really care about it. I just, that's why I like people to use their cell phones, because there's still some people out there that pay long distance.
Yep. Well, I'm an unlimited landline now. Well, how about the LIBOR scandal? That seems like it's going to grow pretty big.
The what?
The LIBOR scandal?
I don't, enlighten me.
Okay. Well, you know what LIBOR is, right?
Enlighten me.
Okay, it's the London Interbank Offered Rate.
Oh, yes.
The overnight,
yes, yes.
The overnight banking rate, right?
Right, now I know. The guy who went to Romney's fundraiser in Paris started the whole thing.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of participants, as it seems. And it's tending to grow to some of the major banks, not only in England, but in the United States.
Right, that's where his buddy would call him up and ask him to set the rate so that he would win his bet.
Yeah, and they were going back as far as 2008, a convenient stopping point, but now they're going back as far as 2005, so that's rather good. So it could be a lengthy history of banks rigging these rates over a very extended period of time. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy shit. If banks didn't have enough trouble, and if people didn't hate banks enough, we've got this coming. That they've been rigging interest rates for all these years.
We'll have to delve more into this next week because we got about. We got about 80 seconds left. It was a real good show tonight. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, we covered your topic fairly well.
Yeah, we did. We did. And
some of your links were taking me to a different site. I don't know what happened there.
It was very crazy tonight.
The link
switchboard just disappeared and came back. And
well, that one link that you posted, I think you posted it on my wall in Facebook. One link was good, and then the other one took me to something totally different. So
what
I'm not sure what happened there. I mean, I could tell immediately it was not Blog Talk Radio. So No, it's a corrupt link. So you may want to look into that if you get some.
Oh, you mean I blew the link? Okay.
No, it took me to a fake page. It said Blog Talk Radio with an N after the O. So it was fake. And then it gave me links to a whole bunch of other radio stations, but they weren't Blog Talk.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
Yeah. So you may want to look into that.
I'm going to go delete that then.
Yeah, because it looks like one of those fake things that it might send you to a page where you're going to get the virus or whatever, you know.
Okay. No problem. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye. Night.
Bye-bye. Good night.